You know, a lot of the stories that we know, a lot of the stories that we love, begin with a messenger. And you guys know how this works. If you have a favorite book, a movie, TV shows less so, because they have a new story kind of every week. But a lot of the stories we know begin with a messenger. And so at the beginning of the story, everything's calm, right? Everything's calm. Everything's kind of peaceful for our main character, our protagonist. Everything's kind of normal, and that might be a good normal, it might be a bad normal, but whichever way you cut it, it's kind of normal. And then, to kick off the action of the story, the news comes. Something important has happened, an important message comes, delivered by a messenger, and everything changes. So, for a few examples, you can think of a bunch of stories that I enjoy. The Lord of the Rings, the books that were written so long ago and movies that came out more recently, The Lord of the Rings. And if you know those stories, at the beginning of those stories, Frodo is just kind of enjoying his life. He's the main character. He's just kind of enjoying life in the Shire before Gandalf, who's this kind of mysterious stranger guy who goes and adventure follows him. Gandalf shows up and tells Frodo a message. He says, this family heirloom you have, this ring, is actually this really powerful artifact that could end the world if you don't do something about it. And there goes the story from there. Or you can think about another series of books and movies over the last few years, Harry Potter, if any of you guys have read those. At the beginning of those stories, Harry has a pretty unremarkable, if unpleasant, life with his aunt and uncle. And then everything changes for Harry when his messenger comes. An owl comes with a message that he is going to school at Hogwarts, the magic school. Or more recently, a little more recently, there's the Hunger Games stories, those books and movies as well. They kick off when a representative of the Capitol comes to town with the news that it's time to choose someone from the town, from the district, to go and participate in the Hunger Games, which is this tournament, this kind of fight to the death. And the story goes from there. And so this is how so many of our stories start, right? With a messenger, with an earth-shaking message that changes everything. And because so many of our stories start this way, we kind of get the idea that sometimes maybe our lives should work like this, and yet our lives don't, right? Our lives don't always work this way. And I think that we often find ourselves hoping for some kind of messenger in our own lives to come to us, to enter in and to change everything. And sometimes that happens. Maybe this is the season for college acceptance letters, promotions, maybe people coming home with the news we're pregnant or something like that. But, you know, in our lives, for every one of those college acceptance letters, jobs offered, promotions offered, big changes, spouses saying, hey, we're pregnant, spouses proposing, things like that. For every time like that, for every messenger that changes our life, there are lots of other times, many more other times, and maybe the best thing to call these other times is less exciting. Maybe that's the right word. There are these other times, too, and they're not bad times of life, right? But they're less dramatic. And compared to those big, momentous occasions, they're almost forgettable. And so this is one reason why we might envy these shepherds in tonight's scripture reading. This scripture reading tells a story that I think we all know, right? We've all heard this before. Mary is pregnant. She and Joseph are heading to Bethlehem in order to be counted for a census. And there's no place that they can stay in a normal guest room, a normal inn. And so they're stuck. They're stuck in the stable. Mary gives birth. They place Jesus, her son, their son, in the manger. And when Jesus is born, of course, this group of shepherds received the messengers of a lifetime. And so we read in verse 8 that there were shepherds living in the fields nearby Bethlehem. They were keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. So this is like, something big is happening. They know that this is not normal, and they're terrified of this heavenly messenger. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company, a great army of the heavenly host, so a great army of angels, appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." So how's that for a message Or, for that matter, how's that for a messenger? You know, that's not the kind of messenger you ignore. So the shepherds said to one another, to paraphrase a bit, let's go check this out. And so they hurried off. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So that's the story, and we might envy these shepherds. We might be jealous of them because they got something that we usually don't. And what these shepherds got was a host of angels, an army of angels coming to announce the awesome work that God was doing among them. And really what they got was a messenger of faith that they couldn't ignore. They got a messenger whose angelic stature proved the world-shaking import of the message he bore. They got a messenger whose angelic stature proved that he was something special. He was bringing a message from the Lord. And so we might envy, we might be jealous of those shepherds because the messengers of faith that we get in our own lives, the people who share the message of Christ with us, well, the messengers of faith that we get just don't really seem to measure up to an angel in the heavens with an army of the heavenly hosts. You know, probably none of us have ever had angels appear to share the gospel with us. I mean, I don't know about you guys, not me. Our messengers have probably been more ordinary. We have ordinary messengers of faith in our own lives. People like maybe the pastor or the pastors of your youth, probably ordinary guys who weren't that big a deal to anyone. We get ordinary messengers in our lives, like parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, people who are kind and loving for sure, but they probably didn't inspire the same confidence as an army of angels in the sky. We get ordinary messengers. Maybe for you that was just a friend, someone who took the time to listen, to care about you, and to share their own story of faith. And even, we can acknowledge this too, that some of us have had messengers of faith whose lives seem to contradict the message they share. So maybe for you, that was a parent who made sure you were in church every Sunday morning, sitting there on time, and then you went home and they like cussed and hit you the rest of the week. Maybe you had a pastor who fell into some great moral lapse. These things happen. We should acknowledge that, and we got to deal with those things. But the point is that our messengers of faith sometimes don't seem so special. And because our messengers of faith don't seem so special, we tend to wonder just how special and just how important their message really is. And because the messengers of faith who shared the message of Christ with you aren't that special, not compared to the heavenly host, you might not be that engaged in your own life of faith. More than that, you might know this is a good thing, but you might not know how to engage your kids or your family in a life of faith as well. We struggle with this in part because the people who share the message of the gospel, this awesome world-changing message, the people who actually share that message don't seem to be anything special. And if that's you, I have a good piece of good news for you tonight. And the good news for you is that when we talk about faith, the message is far more important than the messenger. Because the message is all about this little baby that was born in the stable 2,000 years ago. The message is that this baby is the Savior, that this baby is the Messiah. This baby is somehow, he's the Lord. He's God coming to earth to live with humanity. And the message is simply this, that we're all broken, but God has come to fix us. The message is that we're all hurting, but God has come to heal us. The message is that we're all living in darkness, but our light has entered the world. The message is that death comes to take us all, but Christ has defeated death and given us eternal life. And indeed, we all sin. We sin against God and one another, and that is the source of all these bad things in ourselves and in the world. But Jesus comes to forgive us. Jesus comes to make us right with God, and Jesus comes to make us right with one another. Jesus, that little baby born in the stable 2,000 years ago, he lived. He had a public ministry where he taught people the truth of God's grace for you. He performed great miracles of healing for everyone to see to prove who he was. And then he went to the cross. He died there and he rose again to accomplish all this healing, all this forgiving, all this life and fixing in us and of us. He died and rose again to make us new people. And he rose again. He ascended on high to rule over all things and sits at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, ruling as the King of creation. That's who he is. And so that's the message. And the good news for you tonight is that this message of grace, this message of healing, this message of restoration and of truth, for you and for all people, that message has the power to change hearts. That message has the power to change lives, even when the messenger isn't all that special. The message has a power all of its own. And that's good for you, good news for you, when you are the messenger and you're trying, you're thinking, you're wanting to share your faith with your kids, with your friends, and with your family. You know, I'll be the first one to admit that for me as a pastor, I have to remind myself of this piece of good news all the time because that's my job. I'm a messenger. And, you know, I have to, way too often, I start to think that my job is more about me as the messenger than it is about the message that I'm sharing. So, for example, the way this works for me, one way this works for me is maybe I'm praying with someone. I'm a pastor. I do that a lot. Maybe I'm praying with someone, and afterwards, you know, I leave, I start to think, man, I could have done that a lot better. I start to think, I should have said this instead of that. You know, I should have thought that prayer through ahead of time because I said, like way too often. And you know how you always try to pick apart your own performances, your own everything you do, and we can always find something wrong with ourselves. I mean, I hope that's not just me. And so we start to get down on ourselves about how we share our faith and how, you know, we ask, can we do this? Are we making a difference in the life of the people around us? And the solution, when we start to get down on ourselves about how we share our faith, is to remember once again that the message is more important than the messenger. And the fact that you do share the message of Jesus with your kids, with your friends, and with your family is far more important than how smoothly you speak when you do it. The fact that you share that message is far more important than how confident you are when you pray out loud with your kids or with family. And so you can kind of just do it. You can just do it. You can trust that even when you make a mistake, God is still working through the message because it's not about the messenger. It's about the message. Even when you feel like you yourself, as the messenger, you're nothing special, God will use the message. And so what this means for our daily lives, as we go back to this question, we think about how can we share our faith with our kids, with our grandkids, and, you know, make that last like even more generations down the line. As we think about how we can share this wonderful good news, this wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ who was born 2,000 years ago, how can we share that with our friends and our family? What this means is that in our daily lives, our faith is best passed on from parent to child, from friend to friend, through faithful practices. Faithful practices. You know, it's not about how slick you can be when you share the gospel. It's not about having just the right things to say. It's not about having just the right argument, you know, for that maybe that one friend who just says, well, yeah, I'm not into it, and maybe they go online, they come up with all these arguments and things like that. It's not about that. Faith is best passed on through repetition. Faith is best passed on through faithful practices. So faith is most effectively passed on when you spend maybe day after day or week after week or year after year praying at home with your kids, at meals, at bedtime, maybe in the morning. When you do family devotions and you make scripture a regular part of your family life together. Just as important is bringing your kids to worship like every week as often as you can because that's where we receive the Lord's gifts. Just as important as having fellowship with other believers through, you know, a big offense when we get together, through small groups, through youth groups, being part of the life of God's people together. That all transmits faith. That all shares the message and cements it in us. And when you make a habit of faithfulness in your life, when you do these things regularly, bring your kids to church, pray at home, when your actions and your very life show your kids and your family that, you know, church is just kind of something we do. Prayer is something we do because faith is part of who we are because of this great gift that the Lord has for us. And you start doing these things as early as possible and you keep those habits going as consistently as possible for as long as you can. You make a habit of faithfulness. That's the most effective way for you to pass on your faith. That's the most effective way, the best way for you to be a messenger to your own kids, to your own family. And this isn't as flashy as an angel chorus in the skies. but it's effective. And you know, many of you here tonight are living proof of this. Your parents or your grandparents raised you in a life of faith, and now here you are many years later sitting in church on Christmas Eve. And maybe between then and now you spent a few years maybe away from the church, right? Maybe a few years at college, a few years in the military, maybe you just grew up and set off on your own. Maybe you spent a few years away from the church, or maybe you spent a few dozen years away from the church. Maybe you've been blessed to stay with God's people and to stay connected through your whole life. It doesn't really matter. You're here. Here came Christmas Eve, and that habit of faith kicked in again. That training you got so long ago, or maybe not so long ago, and here you are tonight. Because you know there's something important here. Because the utterly ordinary messengers of faith in your life, those parents, those grandparents, those pastors, those aunts and uncles, those friends who invested their lives into yours through those long, ordinary times of life, because they did that. And they put that faith in you. And it worked for you because you're here tonight. And it will work for your kids, for your family, as you try to share that precious gift with them. And so if you're doing this right now, you have that strong habit of faith for yourself, for your kids, for your friends and your family and others in your life, that is great. Keep at it. That is the most important thing you can do for your family. And, you know, if you don't have that strong habit of faith, I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad tonight. I'm trying to encourage you. If you don't have that strong habit of faith right now, then let me encourage you to start today. Make that commitment today that knowing Jesus will become a priority in your life through worship every week. It doesn't have to be here, but somewhere, gather with the people of God. Make knowing Jesus a priority in your life through fellowship with the people of God, through prayer and devotion at home. And if you want this, but you're not sure how to start, well, talk to me. Even tonight, and probably especially tonight, if you're here sitting thinking, yes, I want to make that a habit, I want to make this a priority in my life, because what's going to happen is we're all going to go home tonight, or we're going to go see family, right? And it's Christmas, so we're going to parties, and we'll have a good time, and probably there's tomorrow, too, and family's hanging around, and then we'll come like 6 days from now, and you're going to forget. If you don't act now, you're going to forget, or you'll rationalize, and you'll say, well, I'll get to it later. And this chance that you have right now to change your life, this chance that you have right now to pass the precious gift of faith to your children, to start that process, will be gone. And so if this is you tonight, well, talk to me, and I can encourage you. More importantly, I can help you to follow through. That's a good thing. So tonight and always, practice your faith. Keep at it. Make it the most important habit in your life. Because, you know, you and I, we don't get the angels in the sky coming to share the good news of Jesus. You and I, we get the ordinary messengers of faith. And more than that, we get to be the ordinary messengers of faith. And what a privilege that is. What a blessing for you, for your kids' kids, for your friends and family, and everyone whose life you touch. Amen.